Welcome into the Talkin' Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, the sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, joined as always by Travis Ryer. Subscribe and like the Ryer on YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out. Lots of fantastic content there. We'll tell you a little bit more about it later in the program. Here on the Sunday Nighter, though, Travis, we're going to recap this Alabama-Georgia game, a wild one over in Athens. The Crimson Tide getting the job done. 24-21 for its 10th win in the last 11 meetings with the Bulldogs. Also, its 7th win out of 8 against Kirby Smart since he left Nick Saban's staff. I guess it's been 10 years now in that neighborhood. So
2016 was year one.
Nine years, or 10. So been a minute, but Alabama gets it done. Travis, huge win for Kalen DeBoer. Big performance by the offense early in the game. And, you know, they had some problems. They had some tough moments, but they were able to hang on and get a road win, which Kalen DeBoer needed for sure, especially on the road.
Yeah. A wire to wire road win over the 5th ranked team in the country, just like we all predicted, right, Chase?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You and I were so confident.
Dead wrong right here.
Yeah. I was right there with you, my man, right there with you. But you're right, and we did talk about this last week. Georgia wasn't coming into this game an exceptionally fast starting team, you know, a team that even against inferior opposition, not named Tennessee, didn't start fast against those teams prior to that road trip to Knoxville. So there was the possibility for an Alabama offense that, if nothing else, even in the loss at Florida State, we saw them go down the field, get in the end zone. And maybe it's time to start talking about Ryan Grubb on script, like we talk about Sark and like how we talk about Lane, because apparently that script even carried over into the second possession on Saturday night in Athens. And for Alabama to be able to get out to that 14-0 lead, especially after the Ryan Williams drop, too.
Right.
And to come out and get a 3-and-out on defense to set up that first possession. Everything Alabama needed to happen early in that game, and you were there, so you know what that environment was like better than I do. It felt almost like 2008 in some ways. I know you were there for that one as well.
Yeah, at 14-0, it was quiet. When it got extended even beyond that, it got double. I mean, it got completely hushed tones throughout Sanford Stadium, and of course, it got a little louder in the second half when Georgia's defense started picking up the pace and getting some stops. But you're right. I mean, Alabama needed a fast start. They got a fast start. They got a big time performance. Obviously, Travis, from Ty Simpson. He finished 24 out of 38 for 276 and a couple of touches. But so much about his performance beyond the stats was impressive to me. You know, I like the early scramble on the first drive where he just shot straight up the middle. We've talked about that being the way to go for him on a lot of this stuff. That was big. Thought he showed a lot of poise with the noise and the checks pre-snap. Walking over to guys, walking to the tight end, walk to the tackle, put the call right in their ear instead of just assuming they can hear you if you're yelling and screaming stationary. Things like those are veteran moves, and this is a guy making his fourth career start. And I realize he's been at Alabama a long time, but for a guy making his fourth career start, I just thought he showed a ton of poise, had some step ups in the pocket that helped him out in this game, and really, I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, and I wrote this following the game. I won't be shocked if we get to the end of this season and he's the best quarterback in the league.
And with this defense, and give it credit in the second half, you know, when the opportunities presented themselves in the biggest moments, the Alabama defense got the job done. By the way, I'm going to start referring to the Alabama defense and wins after wins as opportunistic is how I'm going to go about that.
Right.
In losses, it'll probably be more along the lines of porous. Yeah. But the point is, you know, even as early as this Saturday in Tuscaloosa, next Saturday, Ty Simpson may need to be even better or as good as he was. And that may be the case week by week because a road trip to Missouri coming up. Missouri can run the football. Mm-hmm. You know, Missouri can put you in some uncomfortable situations on the road. So it may be more of a case that Ty has to be this good week in and week out. And if he is, it's hard to imagine him not being in New York City come early December.
Yeah, Alabama struggled to run the football, struggled to stop the run defensively. Two things that are staples for winning football, especially on the road. They found a way to upset a top five team without that. So we'll get to that in a minute. I want to go back to your comment about Grubb, though, in the play calling, because I think that's worthy of a few more minutes of our discussion. You're absolutely right. I mean, Grubb had that Georgia defense on skates with some of these calls. Phenomenal screen package. Mm-hmm. Simpson threw 10 screen passes, completed 9 of them for about 90 yards. You know, you talk about complimenting a run game that needs some help. You know, we've talked about that too, the short passing game helping out the running game. Well, if you're 9 out of 10 on screens and getting 10 yards a pop on them, mm-hmm. that kind of can be your running game if you need it to be. So got a lot done there. Had a lot of fun with the Caden Proctor rush, officially a rush.
Lateral. Travis.
But what do you make of that?
I'm just wondering if there's another side to that play where Proctor throws it off the lateral. Double pass from Caden Proctor. I'd like to see that. Yeah, I mean, there were some times. I mean, Jeremy Bernard threw one pass, was going to throw another, mm-hmm. took a loss.
Yeah.
You know, the sequencing, I think, by Grubb was really, really good, too. You know, I know the first down runs weren't netting a lot, but play action off of that on a lot of second downs and even some first down throws off play action continued to be especially good for this offense. You mentioned it with the screen package. We talked about last week worrying about Raylan Wilson and CJ
Allen.
Those inside linebackers and Chris Cole, kind of a hybrid backer. And boy, I thought Grubb neutralized those guys. He put those guys in Hades for much of the night because, you know, he was working the flats. He was throwing it to the backs. He was out flanking the Georgia defense. Those screens, some first down screens where Georgia really wanted to get after the quarterback. It was the full arsenal from Ryan Grubb. And I think more importantly to your point earlier, the difference in Ty Simpson from road start one in Tallahassee to last night, they always say you make your biggest improvement from game one to game two. Well, Ty from road start one to road start two, it kind of reaffirmed what we heard from Grubb after the Florida State game. You know, Grubb was pretty resolute after that Florida State loss that he felt like that there were things there. There was stuff on the table that maybe Ty left because he was a little anxious. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the case last night. There wasn't much left on the table. I guess a little bit, but not much.
No, you're right. A lot of smart quarterback play. And Bernard, too. I mean, look, Bernard had the one play where he got sacked. The guy he was looking for flat out was not open. And he did have Horton in the middle of the field on a little bit deeper route when he ate that sack. But you know what? On a play like that, you're not going to, especially when you're going to run the wide receiver to the sideline under pressure, you don't ask that guy to make two reads on a trick play, right? I mean, right. Ideally you want Bernard to probably throw that ball away, but he was smart not to try to complete it. There's no question about that.
Don't turn it over there.
Was it Rico Scott was his first read on that, I think?
I think so. And I talked about that on the channel after the game too. Is it, to your point, echoing exactly what you said. I know everyone's screaming at the television or in the stands, throw it away. But, you know, Jeremy Bernard's not in those meetings every day with that room. Okay. So the one thing, and your point is really good, just don't turn it over there. Give yourself a chance, because even in some of those situations last night, the Alabama offense was able to overcome some real down and distance issues.
Yeah. Simpson with some great reads too. I thought Simpson made a really nice read on his second touchdown pass when he hit Isaiah Horton in the back of the end zone there in the first quarter. I think Horton was his third read on that play. And yeah, I watched it pretty close. I've been through about a quarter of the tape. I still got a ways to go. didn't even look to me like Horton ran a route on that play. It looked more like he was just, and maybe this is what they told him to do, but he was just trying to look for a soft spot somewhere, found one in the back of the end zone. Simpson happened to see him. So that was nice. And and another tip of the cap to Grubb, Travis, for that pass to Jam Miller at the end of the game that secured that first down. He goes down in bounds, of course, which is clock favorable. And, you know, that was that was a misdirection play that Grubb pulled out. I thought at just the right time I don't do the report cards anymore. That's for the beat writer, but the coaching staff would have gotten an A from me if I'd have been doing the report card.
Yeah, the offensive side with Grubb, absolutely. And, you know, it felt like from start to finish, Grubb had answers. And that last play, that last conversion, that was the question. Really, that last possession. Because traditionally, when you look at an offense like Alabama's and you think four-minute offense, you don't think that's the type of offense that maybe you want in that situation when you need a couple of first downs to take the clock and win the game.
Right.
But when you're able to give your offense layups like that one on that last third down, which it really was. And look, if Ty wanted to be a hero right there, if you go back and watch, I think Josh Cuevas is running wide open down the Georgia sideline. Mm-hmm. But you didn't need that. So. Yeah. Ty does the mature thing, the winning thing, and gets it to his back. And Jam Miller, being the mature player he is, understands, gets down in bounds. That's the ball game. So, again, start to finish, Ryan Grubb was in the proverbial bag and did a great job, too, I think, of outflanking Georgia a lot of times, going back to that matchup with those linebackers and that second level for Georgia. It was an all-around performance and ran the football well enough. We talked about scrimmage yards last week, too, for Alabama's backs. Forget about just rushing yards. Mm. And it was really a two-back game, wasn't it? I mean, it was pretty much Jam and Kevin Riley. And I think between them, they totaled like 130 scrimmage yards. If I'd have told you that going into the game, you'd have taken that, wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah, no question. You know, they – and it's also interesting, too, you know, even though they didn't pile up a ton of yards on the ground, what a contrast between that for the OL and the pass protection, because Ty Simpson had all the time he could have asked for. I looked at PFF this morning, the way PFF counted it, he had 35 clean pockets out of 40. So it doesn't get any better than that, Travis.
It doesn't. And look at how many different offensive linemen Alabama used in the game.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. You know, I mean, used to have messenger linemen back in the day, bringing in plays. Yeah. I don't think you had that many guys. I mean, really?
William Proctor
Sanders.
And
let's count them all. I mean, you had the starting five. Then you came with William Sanders. Then you came with Jaden Roberts also. Came with Michael Carroll. Wilkin Formby played some guard. You had some unbalanced looks. I mean, that – whatever they had been holding back, they unleashed it last night.
The only two guys on the OL at this point who you expect to see start to finish are Brailsford and Proctor in the same position.
Mm-hmm. That was exactly the case.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So it's
and there was no drop off really at all.
No, I thought Sanders did some good things.
I think Sanders, his mobility and agility is good for a lot of what they want to do with pullers and screens and some of those things. But, boy, you talk about invaluable experience. You're also getting some of these guys when games matter against top five opponents on the road.
Right.
In the likely case that you have some guys go down with such a long season still in front of you.
Yeah,
you can't put a price tag on that, right?
No, you can't. A lot of mixing and matching going on with Chris Kapilovic, the offensive line coach, and his charges for sure. Receiving wise, Isaiah Horton, 5 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown, Travis. So he came up pretty big in this one for sure. Ryan Williams, 5 for 43, did have that huge drop that you mentioned. Touchdown right in his hands. His snaps were down. We're talking about snaps for the OL. Isaiah Horton had like 74, 75 snaps, season high for him. Ryan Williams only 41, I think, which is obviously a light number for somebody who's your most dynamic player. But, you know, when they the series after the drop, they had him on the sideline for several plays in a row. It made me wonder if they were trying to get him settled down or something over there.
Yeah, not sure. But look, they've got Jeremy Bernard as their one right now. He's their number one offensive guy, period.
Yeah.
Other than the quarterback. If you're talking about guys around the quarterback, it's Jeremy Bernard. He's running it. He's throwing it. He's catching it. He's blocking it. And that's the guy that's going to be on the field, I would think, from a snap count perspective. I thought it was encouraging to see so many different guys contribute in big moments, third down. You don't go 12 of 19 on third down if you're targeting just one guy in all likelihood. I mean, you had some big throws to Caleb Edwards, had a big one in the middle of the field. Quavis had a big one.
Brooks had one over the middle.
Brooks, and I loved that some of these guys took some shots. Brooks took some shots. And Ryan, the easiest ball he had all night, he dropped. It was the tough ones that he was fine on. You know, the physicality that he needed on those to take the blow and finish the play. That was very, very good, I thought, from Alabama's wide receivers and the tight ends. I thought having Danny Lewis back was kind of low-key good. He did some nice things, some of that dirty work stuff. And it felt like a night, if you're a two tights or even three tights proponent, last night was for you, both teams. We're going to get into the Alabama defense, but man, I thought Lucky and Delp for Georgia, especially in the run game.
Yeah.
It got ugly a couple times with those guys doing work.
Let's go ahead and flip it over and talk about that performance by the Alabama defense, Travis. Georgia getting it done on the ground, 227 yards, I think, rushing, roughly double Alabama. Alabama roughly doubled Georgia in passing yards. Georgia roughly doubled Alabama in rushing yards. That was how it went.
It really did. And it just came down to big moments. And, you know, LT Overton with the big fourth down stop with maybe some help from Deontay Lawson. I know Georgia fans.
Get out of the shotgun on that fourth and one.
Well, and worse than that, almost as worse, right there with shotgun on fourth and short like that for me is hurry up in that situation.
Yeah.
You've been mashing Alabama all night long.
Yeah.
And this is the biggest play of the game.
Yeah.
And you go hurry up. And look, you know, I think sometimes that's very much to the benefit of the defense. You're kind of frantic and things, but it seems like players on defense just say to hell with technique and concepts, and they just shoot gaps and try to blow things up, you know? And that's kind of what happened with LT Overton, I thought. I'm just not a big fan of rushing those, whether it's goal line, whether it's short yardage. It's too big of a play, man.
Mm-hmm.
Get under center. And run a sneak with your gritty, gutty quarterback.
Right. You know?
And I did like that about Grubb last night when Alabama needed it, right? On that third down late. Ty Simpson was up under center.
Yep. And he's getting under center some.
And did a lot last night and went and got it. And then you get the help from the bonehead DB for Georgia for the pile diving targeting also that you could have called on that. But, yeah, that was, you know, that was huge, obviously, the fourth down stop down there. And you're able to kind of figure out a way to close it from there.
A lot of Georgia fans online saying if they just get a piece of Overton, that plays a touchdown.
Right. Yeah.
I think Sav would have been late. I think they're right about that.
I think it's definitely a first down. And I know, look, I know Kirby and Bobo, they love them some Cash Jones, but he's not an elite back. Right. So even if that's Chauncey Bowens that I give it to there, you know, maybe he's able to keep his feet cleaner and it could have been a different result. But hey, give Alabama credit. I know, you know, you talk about fortune and it usually levels out in a game like this. And it comes down to who really capitalized it on the most. And that was Alabama last night. So credit for that.
No doubt about it. Bray Hubbard leads the team in tackles with 9. I thought he was really solid in run support, and he needed to be because, of course, Georgia got loose, as we've talked about ad nauseum on the perimeter again quite a bit in this game for some rushing yards. Justin Jefferson had 8 stops for Alabama. How about Edrick Hill, Travis, getting in the backfield and doing some damage as well?
Yeah, he did. You know, I thought Fonga and Hill, they were in there together. You're trying to give Keenan a blow, which Keenan being back was obviously a good thing. You know, you got Gash there. A couple times, it felt like Alabama was assuming pass rush in 2nd and long, not 3rd and long. Like 2nd and 12, they got gashed a couple times. And maybe assumed that Georgia was going to get away from the run game, and they didn't, and they got hit. And Hill and Fonga were in there together on one. But, yeah, I mean, you know, look, it wasn't going to be pretty. Renaud, Hill, Keenan, James Smith going out there in the 3rd quarter was big for that Alabama defensive front to the targeting call. Alabama rotated a lot of guys. I wouldn't say anybody was particularly dominant, but again, in big moments, guys like Overton stepped up, and Bray Hubbard, you talk about the difference in the game, and it isn't always in the 4th quarter either. I mean, when you really think back on this game, Bray Hubbard forcing that fumble deep on Georgia's end there.
Yes. Yep.
In a 14-7 game, Deontay Lawson with the recovery, and you end up with just a field goal, felt a little bit like a disappointment, but think about those 3 points at the end of the night. I mean,
right.
They were huge.
Meant everything to Alabama, no question about it. Got to mention Quay Russo, Travis, injured in this game. Foot surgery apparently is going to be down for some time. Not exactly clear right now how many games he'll miss, but given surgeries involved, you would assume it would be more than one. Your thoughts on that loss for Kane Womack, and I guess Yanze Pierre, who I know you're a big fan of, I am too. He's kind of a moment for him to get some more snaps, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know, Jamarian Latham obviously out too. So when you talk about stout edge guys, Russell and Latham kind of come to mind first and foremost. And big moment now for Yanze Pierre, who, yeah, I think thought he was good again against Georgia. But you got to have another one too. We saw Justin Hill in there a great deal, the very, very young, outside linebacker. So this would seem to be a big spot for him. Maybe you get into some, Noah Carter a little bit, you know, start working down that depth chart, and, you're going to need it. Cause I who knows about Latham at this point, right?
Right.
Russell, that's not good at all in terms of what you're thinking about with the regular season. So big injury for Quay.
No question about it. Elsewhere, Travis, your thoughts on the secondary. Obviously, it was a rough night for Gunnar Stockton. Georgia did have a wide open deep ball that was dropped. Not totally unlike the Ryan Williams drop on the opposite end of the field. That was a moment that was obviously pretty fortunate for the UA secondary. But, you know, for the most part, I thought they did a pretty darn good job. I mean, Zach Branch, who we talked about in the midweek podcast, he only had 3 catches. They targeted him 7 times. They got a PBU on him. He had a drop. He was not a big factor.
No, and also did a good job on him in terms of kickoff coverage too, I thought. You know, after giving up the big one to Wisconsin, Alabama a lot better in that regard on special teams Saturday night. But yeah, Georgia's wide receivers really weren't problematic. I mean, Colby Young scored on a really nice route. You know, he got Damani Jackson to bite on sort of the hitch and go, the double move.
Right.
With the 38-yard touchdown grab there in the first half. But all in all, Branch didn't kill you with the explosives. And look, didn't really have to. Georgia only threw the ball 20 times, only ran 55 plays, but they averaged 7 yards per carry. So, you know, that's kind of the other side of that as well. And, you know, Young's a big dude. Humphreys is a big receiver. So you didn't let the other guys hurt you. And Georgia's tight ends now in the post Brock Bowers era, they're nothing like that was in trying to defend him. a couple of years ago. And I love Delp and Lucky as blockers. I thought they were just phenomenally impressive at times in that area. But you didn't have to – it didn't feel like with Georgia, Alabama had to defend as much. And even that was still problematic.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. For the Georgia defense, you had a hell of a lot to defend, it felt like.
I agree. And a rough day for Damani Jackson all around, not just the pass he gave up, but he had a rough day, I thought, in terms of run support as well. So we'll continue. I think we're going to continue to see Dejon Lee a good bit. He had 30 snaps in this game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a defense that continues to pretty much rotate all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't be a quality force defender against the run or the quick game, it's got to be hard to keep running you back out there. Yeah. Because it's one thing to, you know, get hit for 8 to 10 yards on some of these plays, but too many of these continue to go for 20 plus that shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because of fundamental issues. I talked to a coaching buddy today and he said, you know, I just think that part of the transfer portal, all the player movement, is that fundamentally the football has regressed in things like run force and knowing, you know, being fundamentally sound on taking angles and breaking down and, you know, using the sideline, but at the same time, not allowing people to hit the sideline for 30 plus more yards. He's of that belief. Maybe there's something to that, but whatever the case, yeah, Dejon Lee, I thought, as much as anybody last night on a couple occasions, looked like he can get there maybe pretty quickly. So perhaps we are going to see more of the true freshman.
The Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel coming at you. Be sure to give that Ryer on YouTube channel a like and a subscribe. Travis put some great content on there. A lot of it Alabama related. Does a great podcast with Brent Beard, the SEC podcast. Plenty of other content as well. Best chicken salad reviews you'll find anywhere. Just all kind of stuff for you.
Got to do one of those again. I got asked about one of those the other day. I gotta get with it, man.
Check it out, Ryer on YouTube. Great channel on YouTube. Want to ask our viewers and listeners as well to please donate to Parker Covers Alabama, a nonprofit organization supporting wheelchaired residents of the state of Alabama. You can do it at parkercoversalabama.com. It's in honor of Mike Parker, friend of mine, and Travis's, who passed away earlier this year. Again, that's parkercoversalabama.com. Podcast rolls on, Travis. Let's take a look around the SEC. It was a big week for sure. Alabama, Georgia, not nearly the only big tilt going on around the league. LSU and Ole Miss get together. The Rebels improved to 5-0 with a home win, 24-19. We've got Auburn going down. We got a lot of heat on Hugh Freeze. We got so much heat on Sam Pittman. He's gone. So we got our first ouster. Tennessee escaping with its life from Starkville. Where do you begin here?
Yeah, all of the above, right? What a weekend, what a week, man. And it wasn't SEC related, but that Florida State-Virginia game Friday night kind of got you thinking it could be one of those weekends in college football. Yeah. And it certainly played out that way. Even in the Big Ten, you had Oregon and Penn State in double overtime and State College. So what a day. What a 24 hours or so of college football between Friday night and into the late night hours on Saturday. From the SEC perspective, yeah, I mean, Pittman, I think, could have made it to the end of the year, even with a loss to Notre Dame on Saturday. But when you eat a 50 burger at home after losing on the road to not just Ole Miss, but Memphis, you know. Yeah. And you got Bobby sitting there ready to go.
Bobby. Yeah. It says he wants that full-time get job.
Oh, no, really? I'm shocked.
Bobby has
never participated in any type of clandestine meetings. He has no history of that. I mean, look, if you're Arkansas, you could do worse, right? I mean, yeah, whatever you think of Arkansas under Sam Pittman, the best offense you saw for sure was the last season plus with Bobby in there.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I said it with Ryan Grubb here on the channel. Some of that stuff from Ryan Grubb in Athens looked like, you know, Gus Malzahn and Bobby Petrino had a kid. Bobby Petrino can coach quarterbacks and he can dial it up on offense.
Yes, he can.
So I don't know. And look, at this point in his career, he's probably telling him, and I can be had at a discount for that, you know, for that,
right,
for that money. So who knows how that's going to go. I thought, you know, Auburn's defense especially has probably deserved better the last 2 weeks than it has gotten in games against Oklahoma and yesterday against Texas A&M. So, yeah, Jackson Arnold, it's tough to figure out. And that offensive line to me at Auburn is just not good enough either. You know, they still aren't good enough on that side of the ball, which is surprising because we're this far into the Hugh Freeze era, and that's what you thought you were getting if you were an Auburn fan.
It all this comes back to Freeze because he's supposed to be the offensive whiz, and they're out here scoring 10 points against Texas A&M. So a lot of heat on him. Billy Napier was idle, fortunately for Billy, but now he gets Texas next week. We'll be talking about that game in the midweek or on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But just to stick with some of these other scores, Tennessee on the ropes for a while, has to go to overtime to take care of business against Mississippi State. Travis, Bulldog, and I think it's the 12th straight conference loss for Mississippi State. Tough one to take if you're Jeff Lebby.
It is. Got off to the nice 4-0 start. Get Tennessee at home. And Mississippi State looked like the better team for a lot of that game. And Tennessee, though, to its credit, did something in coming back that we really haven't seen it do much of under Josh Heupel to this point, especially on the road, come back and get a win that I think for Tennessee will probably look a lot better by the end of the season. Because at some point here, Mississippi State's going to snap that long SEC losing streak. And I think Lebby's doing a nice job, but boy, they are kicking themselves in Starkville right now because that one was on a tee for them late.
Ole Miss knocking off LSU. They're 5-0. It was LSU's first loss. Tigers fall to 4-1 on the season. And looks like a quarterback change at Ole Miss, Travis. Austin Simmons, the expected starter, banged up at the beginning of the season. And Trinidad Chambliss, who we talked about a little bit on previous podcasts, he's been installed as the man for the moment by Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, he has. You know, he's a great story, and I think he is a good player. I'm not sure he's as good of a player as maybe we're trying to make him out to be to this point, but absolutely, to make the jump that he made from the level he was at to this level, he's been very, very impressive. And kind of the Wally Pipp situation there in Oxford. And for LSU, more disappointment under Brian Kelly. You talk about warm buttocks. I would think BK is in that neighborhood at least. And, you know, LSU dealing with some injuries too. I think Aaron Anderson went out or was out in that game against Ole Miss. And it kind of like Auburn, maybe to an even greater extent, the LSU defense deserves a lot better because they still are playing at a high level under Blake Baker.
Yeah. Yeah. You hold Ole Miss to 24 at home, you're generally playing pretty good defense. So finally, and this relevant obviously to the Crimson Tide, how about the next opponent, Vanderbilt? Utah State falls that one 55-35. That's the closest game Vanderbilt's played this year. They've beaten all five opponents by 20 or more. By the way, if you're a gambling man, Travis, Utah State got that backdoor cover in the last minute with a late touchdown. The spread was 22.5, and they popped that touchdown in there on Vanderbilt to get that backdoor cover, as they call it. But the Commodores roll on. Diego Pavia, that offense, 24 points in the second quarter for Vanderbilt. Just a big – and you know, obviously Utah State's not the Dallas Cowboys or anything, but you got to tip your hat to what Clark Lee is doing.
You think about Vanderbilt on the road the last two times out, South Carolina and what, Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
And I think they outscored those two teams in the last six quarters on the road, 65-7. So it's a legitimate football team headed to Tuscaloosa. I had somebody ask me about this on the channel last night. the ticket man in Tuscaloosa feeling better about that Vanderbilt trip.
Yes, man. He is. Yeah.
He's feeling a little bit better.
It'd be the most expensive Alabama Vanderbilt ticket we've seen in some time.
College game day in Tuscaloosa. Wow. Not for LSU, not for Auburn, not for Georgia. Vanderbilt. Diego, man, whatever Diego's getting over there, it's not enough. It's not just Diego. It's that whole New Mexico State contingent that came over from Las Cruces. They have totally changed the fortunes for Clark Lea and Vanderbilt. And I understand Vanderbilt's done some other nice things across that program, but make no mistake about it. Without two and Eli Stowers and the coaching that came in as a part of that, they're not what they are right now.
Just for fun, I'm going to see if there's a betting line out on this game.
Sam chiming in here in the show chat says, Vandy tickets are going for 100+.
100+.
Ticket man.
You could have took a family of four to the last Alabama game against Vanderbilt for that.
After that FSU game, the Tuscaloosa ticket man took two standing eights and a three knockdown rule, and he's back. You know?
Yeah, here's your early spread. The Alabama Vanderbilt spread has opened at -12 for the Crimson Tide. So there you have that.
What's the total? We got a total yet. That's what I want. Total might be 60.
I'm seeing 68. That number might be coming down. My number might be coming down.
A wise man, or at least he thought he was a wise man, once told me, if that total's high, go even higher. Okay.
Love it.
Oh, wow.
All right. That'll wrap us up, Travis.
Yeah. Sam's asking, what time is the game Saturday? That's 2:30, right?
I think so, yeah.
2:30 kickoff. Saban.
There you have it.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to wrap us up here on the Talking Tide podcast here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. For Travis Ryer, I am Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News. Be sure to check us out midweek, Wednesday night. We'll be previewing Alabama and Vanderbilt. Until then, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.